Let's pray. Father, thank you for this Sunday morning. We ask for insight in your word. We ask for revelation. We ask for wisdom. Help us understand. Help us practice what we're going to study today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today morning, we are going to look at prayer models from the Psalms. I've been speaking about, learning about prayer from the Psalms. And today, they said, let's get something, not out of the way, in the way, so that, we start to practice it, especially in our individual prayer lives, but also our corporate prayer meetings. Now, interestingly, there is a famous, not famous really, but one of the best works done on this, of the Book of Psalms and prayer, is by a theologian called John Goldingay. And John Goldingay introduces prayer in the Psalms as a profound and encompassing model of for communicating with God. In fact, he describes the Psalms, as a prayer book. One of the most predominant, if not the most predominant theme of a Book of Psalms are actually prayers. Now, the thing about the book of the prayers in the Book of Psalms and why they are so critical for us today is that the prayers in the Book of Psalms involve or they capture a full range of human emotions. They capture a full range of human emotions and life experiences in relationship with God. I said again, if you're welcome. They capture a full range, of human emotions and life experiences in relationship with God. So this Book of Psalms, it encompasses everything. In the Psalms, you're going to discover that prayer is not restricted to praise and gratitude. You're going to discover that prayer actually involves lament, it involves confession, it involves petition, and it also involves cries for justice. I'm going to say that again. I said the Book of Psalms, it's a prayer book. But in these prayers, you have a full range of human emotions. You are not only thinking about praise. And many times when you think about the Psalms, you're thinking these are praises only. But what you actually have lament, you have confession, you have petition, this is making requests. And then you have cries for justice. Ideally when they teach us how to pray, many times they tell us when you go to pray to God, don't complain. When things are going very bad in your life, go to God and just say, thank you, isn't it? You just say, thank you, God. When your heart is in pain and it's heavy, you don't bring that to God. What do? You just come and cover it all up and say, you are good. Okay? But the Book of Psalms actually shows us that people complain to God, people lament with God, people cry out for justice to Yahweh. And Yahweh absolutely welcomes it. And like I said, one time we're going to go over that Job again in a summative way, and I'll show you another angle from it. Amen. So, these things happen in Psalms. There is an openness in the Book of Psalms that the writer portrays before God. A vulnerability. Right? It teaches us to be open and vulnerable before God. In the Book of Psalms, in these prayers, we learn or we're encouraged, or as believers, we actually pick that when we come before Yahweh, we can talk about every aspect in our lives. It's a model of their heart-to-heart relationship with our Father. It's a model. It presents that to us. And if somebody said that God is not emotional, or God is not moved by emotions, that is not accurate. That is not accurate. God is moved by emotions. Well, not be yours, but you cannot say that a caring father is not moved by emotions. You know, one thing they say is that fatherhood, I mean, when you father children or a child, it teaches you a little glimpse of what unconditional love is. You see me here personally. I cannot watch my kids being pierced with injections. With all my strength before devils, I cannot stand my kids in pain. When your child cries, you feel it inside your heart. There is no loving parent who wouldn't switch the position with their child at the point of suffering at a slight instance. Remember all those movies you watched where there's this prominent guy in government, or maybe a president, you know, has a nuclear codes, and they kidnap his son. Yeah, they kidnap his son, they tell him, if you don't give us the code, we'll kill your son. You know, maybe before I had the child, I was like, come on! You're going to sacrifice the whole nation for your son? Well, I think I'll sacrifice them. I'll give you a code. Because this thing where your heart is knit to your child is amazing. And this is the metaphor, it's not even just the metaphor, that God chooses with his people. He says, I'm their loving father. And then we think that God is not moved by the emotions of his children. Do you know what it means to actually say that a child of God who loves God comes before God and cries, and God does not care about their tears? And some of us think we are better than God. You get it, right? You wouldn't be moved by tears of your child, of someone you created. No. So, Psalms opens to us this room where we see actual emotions. And interestingly, you know, we'll look at the Lament Psalms for instance later. Now, Jesus himself, who is God as a man, what did he do? He also lamented. Yes. Now, of course, the charismatic will teach you, no, confess what you are, not. Jesus, God in the flesh, as a man, on the cross shouted, my father, why have you? And did he say it? But if God told him, wait, listen, Jesus, what are you talking about? You're telling me I forsook you? Stop confessing negatively. But he did! He cried out with a loud voice in the garden. That's anguish in prayer. There is no lovey-dovey there. You're Yahweh. You are faster than I am. You are great. The man is praying, and his sweat is turning to blood in anguish. Well, that's in the Bible. So, Goldingay comes up with about 7 models. I've called them models. Primary models of prayer in the Psalms. And again, I said, we're going to learn this, but I want you to start putting them in your prayer life. You're going to have this sort of, I told you, this is going to be this personal heart-to-heart. It's going to help your relationship with God when you can do this. Amen. One time I had a man say this. At first I first judged him. Okay, not judged him, at first felt now, he had no point, but I understand it now. He said, you see, sometimes when you go to a Pentecostal church or really say charismatic, it's like sometimes there's this over pushing for joy, happiness, celebration, all goody goody, right? Every song, praise is celebratory, it's jumping, it's wonderful. But he said, but not always. Sometimes things are not joyful. So there are my former teacher wanted to say, whoa. Joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We are always full of joy. No, sir. Am I lying? We are not always full of joy. Now, for some of us, it only takes a weekend for our favorite team to lose for all the joy of the Holy Ghost to go. I've been there. Two-piece. Let to pull off somebody's head. Right? Yeah. But sometimes when we lament, things are bad. There is pain. And I want to tell you that God wants to hear that pain. And so you see now, like I'll talk like maybe sister as a worship leader. Part of being spiritual as a minister of God, and this can be even a service leader, is sometimes to pick something like that in a service. Because it may be very hard for you to leave home and you have planned today we are going to lament. Right? But it may actually be easier to pick up something like that in a service. And you don't have to fight it off. You put it forth. And you can get someone delivered. You can get someone ministered to by responding to that. The former issue would have been that, hey, this is, it contradicts my theology, right? No. In church, you're supposed to be full of joy. Well, Jesus said, mourn with all who mourn. See, this Jesus is going to resurrect a guy, but he cries for him. Strange, right? Lazarus. If it is me and the guy is going to resurrect, I don't cry. In fact, I find those crying, I tell them, why would I cry? You don't have faith. Believe in God, believe also in me. This is what he was telling Martha. He's only sleeping. He's alive. She's telling me, yes, I know in the resurrection he shall be alive. No. I am the resurrection, I am the life. But this guy took a moment to grieve. I mean, Jesus took a moment to grieve. All you know is, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. I think there's a difference between crying and weeping. Right? When you read it's the shortest verse in the Bible, maybe part of you thinks, they told him, bro, Lazarus is dead. I was like, got up. Because what? It's the shortest verse in the Bible. So it must have been the shortest weep. Right? But I'm thinking if it's weeping, yakunguwaka. He wailed. That was the other time Jesus sobbed. No? He didn't say Jesus sobbed. He didn't say Jesus cried. Ish. Jesus wept. That's an emotion of God. Isn't it? Weeping is emotion. So, there are these seven models we're going to look at. Amen? Okay. first model, and I'm going to look at each in detail, but we're going to first list them. The first model is lament. In the Psalms, you have lament Psalms. The second model you have is praise. Oh, everybody knows this one.
Praise the Lord. Oh my soul, I'm gonna pray.
Okay. We have thanksgiving. Now, praise and thanksgiving are different. Slightly different. So we have thanksgiving. Which in America is also a holiday. We have confession psalms or confession. Confession. We have imprecation. I really wish the way people were committed to Proverbs is the way they were committed to the Psalms. The Psalms actually, in many senses, can even make us better Christians in our walk. So imprecation is I-M-P-R-E-C-A-T-I-O-N. Don't worry, I'm going to tell you what this means. Imprecation. The next one is petition. Six is petition. Again, what did you call this? We have called these models. And then the last one is supplication. Have I said supplication? Seven is supplication. Okay, so lament, praise, thanksgiving, confession, imprecation, petition, sorry. What did I repeat? Oh, supplication is repeated. It's petition, sorry. So the seventh is reflection. Apologies. The seventh is reflection. Forgive me for my trespasses. So you have reflection. Okay, so we're going to look at each individually. We're going to look at some examples. Do you think we should do that? Okay, so the first one, lament, prayer. So we're going, these are prayer models that are in the book of Psalms. Prayer. Sorry, lament. Lament prayer. You can call it lament prayer. Don't just call it lament psalm. I'm specifically looking at the prayer part of the lament. The supplication part of the psalm. Sorry, I meant the lament part of the psalm, the supplication part of them. You're going to find that the psalms, some of them, or many of them, are not fully a particular model, but you have some sections of that psalm present that model. We're together. So lament, these prayers express pain. Okay? They express pain. They express confusion. They express anger. So in here, you may have pain. You may have confusion. And sometimes you have anger in the prayer. Okay? But all these are being directed towards God. Now, in there, actually you have a deep-rooted trust that God hears and that God will respond. Lament prayers are often in response to suffering. They are often in response to injustice, sometimes personal failure. Okay, so a person is responding to injustice or suffering or personal failure, and they are responding with these prayers that express pain. These prayers that express confusion, that express anger. Let's look at an example. Psalm 13. This is a psalm of David, the man after God's own heart. That's all. Which character do you want to be in the Bible? David. Why do you want to be David? Duh. Like the dude after God's own heart. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Because I just wish sometimes we read through the person's entire thing and then we discover again whether we want to. And this is proof that many times the people whose lives we want, we only want the parts that we see. Amen. We only want the parts that we see. So how long, Psalm 23, this is David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Wow. What a way to start. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep that sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Now, I want you to know something. This psalm is a very good model for a lament psalm. Many times, these lament psalms will often take this kind of structure. What do I mean? I mean that the lament will start. The lament will question God. The lament will question where he is. Then after, he'll request for intervention. And then at the end, he will show his trust in the Lord. Are you seeing? Because how is he ending 5 and 6? But I have trusted in your steadfast love. Now, listen to me. I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I'll sing to the Lord because you have dealt bountifully with me. Meanwhile, he began by saying, how long will you forget me forever? And those two are not a contradiction. So allow me to say it like this. In the prayer, he expresses what he feels. But deep down, he cannot deny what he knows. So he concludes with what he knows about Yahweh. But that does not in any way mean that he will not say what he feels or what he's going through. Hello? Are you in church? That's a lament. Psalm 22, 1 to 5. This is a famous one. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Again, yet you are holy. Enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. This is what he knows. But the prayer also has what he feels. And what is going on. And they are not a contradiction. Can we go on? Verse 1. Verse 5. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and they were not put to shame. Wow. Look at that verse 14. He goes back into the lament. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a posture, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You laid me in the dust of death. This is a psalm that Jesus prayed when he was on the cross. Yes, sir. Amen. So how do you apply this? Believers should use lament as a way to bring their struggles before God, rather than suppressing them or ignoring them. Bring them to the arm. God is not scared. It's interesting. I think I shared this sometimes. It's interesting to come to God when you're hiding what is in your heart, like he doesn't know. Like saved. Lament allows for a relational depth in prayer. As believers entrust their deepest wounds and doubts to God. It's going to bring this relational depth in prayer as we bring and entrust our deepest wounds and doubts to God. Lament. Many of us need to put this model of prayer in our lives. Lament to God. Cry if you must. Don't suppress. Second, praise. This is on the left, right? Psalms of praise celebrate God's attributes and actions, focusing on His greatness, His holiness, His provision. Psalms of praise. And this is what they say, you praise Him for who He is. Praise. Listen to this. This is very powerful. Praise is not just an acknowledgement of God's gift, but also of His nature. Praise is not just an acknowledgement of God's gift, but what? Of His nature. What is in His nature? His love, His justice, His power. This is what we're doing in the morning today before we started. You are good. You are God. You hold the universe. Those are praise prayers. Let me say this to my music people, which is all of us. Praising God is not talking about praise. You get the difference? You know, we have songs which talk about praise. Sometimes we talk about the praise, we don't do it. I'm saying, let's praise without words. I'm going to give you an example. Psalm 103, verse 1 to verse 5. Are you there? We're only in the Psalms. You can as well, you can remove the other parts of the Bible for this service. You tear them away. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Which ones? Medical? No. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you
with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So now, part of practically doing this will be, we'll actually get out there and serve. I'm going to give examples at the end as we pray, and I'll show you how we do some of this. You remove the psalm itself, and you begin to recite it. Now, you can switch the word, the little bit, the grammar a little bit, and you're making it like your song or your prayer of praise to Yahweh. You say, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul blesses you, God. All that is within me praises your holy name. Oh, Yahweh, I forget not any of your benefits. I acknowledge all of your benefits. You, O Lord, you forgive all my iniquities. You, O Lord, heal all my diseases. You redeem my life from the pit. You crown me with steadfast love and mercy. You satisfy me with good things. You renew me like an eagle. You thought sometimes writing out prayers is legalistic. We're going to do it again. We're going to write out prayers. And we're going to say them. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So that particular psalm actually is a praise psalm. It has a lot of it. Verse 8 to 12. We don't have, may not have time to read them. But verse 8 to 12 of Psalm 103. Psalm, verse also 19 to 22. You can also add that in your praying as praise. Psalm 145 also is a praise psalm. Verse 1 to verse 10. I'm just reading the introduction. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Amen. And so on and so forth. One generation shall commend your works to another, shall declare your mighty acts. Amen. So that is another praise psalm. I give you more. Also, verse 13 to 18, Psalm 145. And then verse 21. Praise psalms. Praise is an insatiable way for us believers to center our lives on God, cultivating gratitude and humility. You see how gratitude helps us to be humble? Or rather, gratitude is an expression of humility. Because you're thanking God for these things. You are acknowledging that you are not the source. Your goodness is not the source. Your diligence is not the source. God is. Number 3. Are we ready? Well, let me just go to and say this. By focusing on God's attributes, still on praise, praise aligns the heart with the recognition of God's majesty and faithfulness. It aligns the heart with the recognition of God's majesty and faithfulness, encouraging trust and reverence. Amen. Number 3. Thanksgiving prayer. We're looking at prayer models in the Psalms. Thanksgiving prayer. Now, we're going to say this. Thanksgiving prayers, or these are prayers of gratitude. They are prayers of gratitude for specific acts of deliverance and provision from God. These particular prayers are more personal than praise. You see, praise, we're all praising God for the same thing pretty much. Just His word. Not something God has done generally. Thanksgiving goes a little bit personal. It recounts particular moments in your life of God's intervention, of God's answered prayer. Specific. Amen. There's it. So when you say, we're now going to go into thanks, yeah? Wow. Yeah, you can thank God for forgiveness of sins. It's not bad, but that's more in the praise. Thanksgiving is going personal. Lord, I'm in November this year. I have not yet defaulted on my rent. Thank you for supplying. Thank you for feeding me. I never went hungry. These are personal. Thank you, cleared my tuition. Thank you for that promotion. Thank you. What else? What else? Thank you for, Thank you that she said yes. You know, it can be that. Sorry. Psalm 30, verse 1 to 5. Let's read one psalm. Did you get the difference between thanksgiving and praise?
Yes.
Psalm,
yes.
Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Or 30. Psalm. Or Saturday. Psalm 30. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. And have not let my foes rejoice over me. You know, it was a big deal in the Psalms to stick it up to the enemies. It's something you're always going to find in the Psalms. Psalm 30, verse 1 to 5. I will extol you. Oh Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. Oh Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. A lifetime. Everybody knows this one. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Everybody knows that one, right? Joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. Okay. Then also verse 10 to 12, Psalm 30, 10 to 12. Hold on, I'm not going to read all that. You'll read that. And then Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 116, verse 5 and 9. Psalm 116, verse 17 to 19. Have you written all those? Yeah, I want to go through quickly. Okay. Thanksgiving in the Psalms teaches believers to remember God's past faithfulness, especially in times of trial. Thanksgiving teaches believers to remember God's past faithfulness, especially in times of trial. Regular prayers of thanksgiving cultivate an awareness of God's involvement in our life and a habit of remembering His works. Now, some people teach that, okay, you thank God. When you thank Him, He does something else. This transactionary way we teach God is very dangerous. Imagine your life if someone just thanked you so that they get the next thing. You know, that actually means you are not actually grateful. You're just looking for a principle. How do you want? You want God to give you more? First, thank Him. The way when you thank Him, He does something else. No. Thank Him because you are actually grateful And because it is the right thing to do. Because you're remembering his past, you are keeping this his past goodness and faithfulness in your heart. You are cultivating an awareness of God in your life. And many times God wants us to be aware that he is there. Number four, confession. You may not like this one. Confession prayer. No, Jesus took no. Confession is alive throughout the whole Bible. When you're teaching Pastor John, so confessing. Confessional psalms acknowledge human sinfulness and seek God's mercy. These are prayers which are model of repentance and reconciliation with God. Again, many times people are not taught to treat our approach with God as relational. Many times we are indirectly taught it as transactional. And this kind of teaching has increasingly become popular today. But few people can actually tell that, hey, I'm actually being taught a transactional God, not a relational God. What do I mean? If you want to rise, do this. If you're there and you want to move from the level you are to another level, do this. This is what has predominantly been in church now. This is how to get a promotion in your workplace. You say you want to see God work in your life, do this prayer. Spend these days fasting. Everything is transactional. On every sense of relationship, every sense of intimacy with God is taken up. But you have people who are full of activity. But all that activity is looking at a particular end. Someone has been told, when you serve in church, God will lift you. And people will serve you. So they start to serve. I was being told, when you are faithful with giving, God will increase your finances. So they are giving. Transactional. A pastor stood up and said, point blank, a very popular pastor, that God does not bless you for giving to the poor. He said, if you really want to rise financially, and if you want a blessing from God for finances, you don't give to the poor. He said, the money you give to the poor is wasted. You give up to go up. It's funny. But these are popular men of God teaching these things. So you always find a charge. The rich are the ones getting. And the man of God is the one with all the cars. The associate pastors have nothing. But even the associate pastor is dying to give his first fruit, not because he's honoring his pastor, but because he's coveting what his pastor has. And people are lying to themselves and they're doing these things in churches and recycling them. That is all garbage. It's all. It has absolutely no reward from Yahweh. So they don't take care of a poor in church because the seed given to the poor is wasted. They are theologies of fertile ground. Amen. You sow into the anointing you want to get. Why are you reading these things? And you can't touch their things. They will tell you, look at the results I have. Which results? You turned people's hand and they gave you the results. They are not from. Don't mind you, sir. I'm complaining. So, they teach someone to thank God so that God does something. You see, in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas were arrested. He says in the midnight hour, when they were called, when they were beaten, when they would turn nowhere. But the Bible says they lifted up their voices and praised God. And when they praised God, it says the foundations of the prison started to shake. It's until they praised God that he rescued them. In your small brain, you think they were praising God so that he moves and rescues them. What about Peter? When he was being rescued, which praise was he doing? He was sleeping. But you see, because in Africa, you don't come to the Bible, don't read, you just say, So now you go back home. You want to read, you just say, Tukusinza, tukutenda, mukama. Ah, you see, that one is for feeding. You need to look for one which deals with giving. You have any praise song which deals with giving? I'm getting bigger every day. Ha! Bigger every day. Ha! Bigger every day. Ha! No limitations. We're taking over. You start saying, Elon Musk, we're taking over. Somebody switched off our brains. So people think transactional things. Transaction. I say it. People, they don't, if they don't know you, man of God, they don't honor you. I mean, what we saw mass. One time a girl called me like this, a very small girl. Says you. Sadman didn't have even by now. I wouldn't have had a problem. But I said, even me, I went. I come and come from that. What is your name? You can come and say, Paul. Yeah, okay, that's what I wanted to ask you. You can go. Mama, my dear apostle, what are you happy to what? You come. Amen. But you see, when she says, I'm going to shift to you, sir, man of God. Yes, sir. What can we do? They only hypocrites. Oh, hypocrite. Like someone would say it. So they honor the ones they know. And you think you walk in honor. I laugh. Sometimes I laugh when I saw this gymnast. But we think God is stupid. Indirectly, you know when you're doing things and you had, you be thinking, Katonda talaba. Amen. But something needs to change. Amen. You honor people because you're honoring people. Honor people because you honor people. Don't be frustrated to hear the title on their name. Say, you're a pastor. I'm very sorry, sir. So, confession. Relationship. I went that far because I wanted to talk about relationship. What is the purpose of confessing to God? So, okay, God has already forgiven me. Yes. But this is a relationship. Don't you feel bad that you wronged God? Any person who is in a normal, in a relationship should feel bad. There must be some kind of remorse. You know, you ask for forgiveness. Sometimes you ask for forgiveness. You know somebody is going to forgive you, but you ask for forgiveness because you're relating with them. You know, let me make it something simple. You're relating with someone. You know, I tell somebody, you know, I'm going to see you, and maybe I ran late. Even 10 minutes and I call you. When I reach, I say, I'm sorry, I'm late. Now I could say, I'm a man of God. You're showing for me. No, but we are, there's a relationship. It behoves me to say, hey, apologies. I ran late. Now, of course, earlier I would have even texted you or called and I said, hey, I'm running late. Forgive me. Relational. You care. So you tell God, you confess.
You ask for God's mercy. Yes, it's not just an Old Testament thing. Isn't it too prideful for you to just be there and say, ha, 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 it doesn't matter what we do. God has forgiven us. No. It means when you go to spend time with God, and sometimes this is where, I'm sorry to say, but sometimes this is where sometimes the abuse of tongues is. I mean, a person being all over everything all over the place, but when they just come, they say, Eli Pakata, Eli Taya, Mba, Mba, Coca-Cola, because there is no person, like there's no internal person of them connected with that prayer. And then they say, ah, we are pushing 4 hours, we are pushing 5 hours in prayer. No, you go to God and start to talk to Him with your understanding. And see how you won't be convicted to confess. How you're struggling to forgive. How you're angry. How you're... And you tell God those things. Say, God, I'm sorry that... In my head, I wish... But, like, I'm sorry. You know, because you are actively relating with someone, and you do that. Are we together? This repentance brings about reconciliation. Right? It brings about reconciliation. You're honest about your personal failings and appeal to God's character as merciful and forgiving. Psalm 51. Again, the man after God's own heart. Psalm 51, verse 1. This is David. Are we there? Let's read. Are we there? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. When was the last time you told God, forgive me, Father? The Lord's Prayer. Forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. When was the last time I asked God to forgive you? Sometimes we don't care. I've not done anything wrong with him. Okay, you can start by forgiving him for desecrating his house or for dishonoring it. Yahweh, I'm sorry. You know, there's that thing some old timers used to do. Now, I don't know what the content of the prayer was, but when they come to church, they first kneel down and they make a short prayer. Did you ever see that? Oh, how you come and you hallow yourself. Yahweh, thank you for this privilege. I'm sorry for obesity. Have mercy on me, O God. David says, I've sinned against you. Confessional psalms teach believers to approach God with humility and honesty about their failings. These prayers encourage regular repentance and trust in God's readiness to forgive. They emphasize the relational aspect of prayer where restoration is always available. These prayers encourage regular repentance, trust in God's readiness to forgive, emphasizing the relational aspect of prayer where restoration is always available. Are we together? So I think some people had a model. When you come to God, you start with confession. Confession first or thanksgiving first? Now, I tell you this for a fact. Again, many of us don't know where some of these models came from. Like things like that. Like that kind of prayer model.
thanksgiving, praise, confession, supplication. Many times these were things which were derived from a proper understanding, right? And they were practiced with the proper recognition. Oftentimes what happened is people kept the model or the form and they forgot or they ignored the revelation or the essence behind it. And we said it about many things, you know, baptism, all these things we've been talking about. But now look at that model again. I know many of us have dissed it before, but think about it. It actually makes sense. He's trying to break down these different kinds of prayer. You know, some people have abused prayer books, but prayer books may not be bad. In other words, think about a prayer book maybe like this. Like a person really thought and said, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I want to talk to God. And I want to talk to him about these areas. Already that communicates some kind of thoughtfulness, some kind of preparation, some kind of value I'm putting to this time I'm spending with God, that I even have things I'm going to talk to him about. When I reach there, I don't want to forget about it. Again, because of all we have seen prayer being done, and many of us have grown up seeing prayer like that, we sort of got a picture of prayer that we may need to change a bit. We had this idea that, okay, when I'm praying, I'm supposed to start here. And then I take off. And I don't come back until I'm done. Again. So you say, you wait for your alarm. I'm starting at 9. So it's 8:59, 10 seconds to go. You start 10, 9, close your eyes. 8, 7. You feel like you've taken too long to check all the time. Have you ever prayed a prayer where you feel like even opening your eyes, you're sinning, mufute musa? Like you guys told you, you start, you ascend. You don't, in the beginning, you lift it up. I mean, you go. You don't come back. You do what? You go. No pausing. If you pause, you are.
That is what I pray.
Okay, what did you pray about? It says he who speaks in tongues speaks to God. What did you tell him? That it doesn't matter. Yamani. Some positive. Mugambi. Yeah, now man. You don't know what you will do with what I've told him, but I've what? Right? That's a view, brother. Then if you do it for long enough, you come back bragging. For us, we push 10 hours.
Are you guys? 2 minutes.
Man, yeah, I'm struggling with 1 hour. Go up. So that's how we reach prayer becomes burdensome. We hate it. we find it disturbing. There's no connection. That's why sometimes people come from prayer and they're still very carnal. Yeah, you get it. Someone has prayed, is still very angry, still very. But yeah, I saw you enter a house of prayer from morning. You've come out grumpy. Are you sure you are with God? Or you are with other Elohim? Because think about it. If someone spends 6 hours in the presence of God, how can you come out grumpy? What's the reason? God is in Eve. And you are John and got to Zangens. You know, like you've come from prayer, but you're quarreling. You know, people really ask me sometimes, but that guy prays. Why is he still like this? One time I told someone, because prayer doesn't build character. The word does. But you know, part of the word building character, because there's an intelligibility to it.
Now, I could say, if a person is also praying and it's thoughtful and there's lots of understanding to it, that prayer will change someone. Because if you go to God, maybe you're praying and you're doing confession, maybe you're confessing, you're thinking about it, right? Part of that is I'm laying it before God. I am also, remorseful, right? I'm remorseful about it. It implies that when I come out, that prayer has imprinted on my mind that if I'm placed in the same situation again, I'm going to think about, hey, how I spoke to God, and I sort of repented over this and committed. So it's going to help me adjust my behavior. You understand what I'm talking about? But imagine you repented in tongues. What did you say? Did you look at some of the prayers that we read them? In Psalm 51, David will say, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Or something like, do not blot my name out of the book of life. That statement is coming from the heart. Now, let me also say this, because I'm also teaching on prayer. Some of us have been spoiled by confession. I don't mean confession, but this one. I mean this positive confession thing. So, you say, like you say over the positive side. So someone was saying prayers. The pastor narrated a story that a friend called him. She was a lady. She called him to pray, to stand with him in prayer for the father. The father was admitted in hospital and just wanted that they pray for the father to be what? To be whole, to come back home. He said, when you reach there, he said, I came to pray with the sister. When I reached to pray, she started saying, thank you, Jesus, because my father is well. Thank you, because you have healed him. Thank you. She did all that in wonderful political gymnastics. He said he kept quiet. Then after he told her, are you done? She said, yes. He said, okay, now let's pray. See, you're trying to snatch someone from the close of heaven and you're very busy with your vocabulary. Thank you because he's saved. Thank you because they hear you. Thank you, Lord, because he's serving you. Now, this person is in the close of hell. Principalities, demons are in them and you're in thanksgiving. No. Supplicate. Call him out. Rebuke spirits. That is prayer. I know you're saying no. Yeah, I'll show you bueno. I'll show you what? Bueno. Now, this one is one maybe I've never heard about. This one. Imprecation. Imprecatory prayers. The word imprecatory comes from the word imprecate. It means to invoke or call down a curse or misfortune upon someone or something. Okay, it's to invoke or call down a curse or misfortune upon someone or something. It is the act of expressing a wish for harm, judgment, or calamity to befall another. So these are prayers where you're wishing calamity or harm to befall another person. Now, some of these prayers are very popular. I've had prayers like Bideo, you know, things like that. What are the other ones? Someone said that that person will never make it while I'm still alive. And you say, Father, whoever has spoken that I should die, let them die, die, die. You know that one? It's a popular prayer. What do in Africa? Isn't it? Why are you acting like I'm making this thing up? So those kinds of prayers also exist in the Bible.
Now, part of the question is, can we pray them now? I'm coming.
Now, this particular kind of prayer is challenging. It has come under question from people like, is it a New Testament prayer model like that? Now, I'm going to give you examples here, and then I'm going to ask you that question. Can you find for me examples of this kind of prayer model in the New Testament? Yeah, okay, let's wait. So let's first deal with it. So imprecatory prayers are challenging. You'll find the psalmist calling for judgment for his enemies. So those kinds of prayers are imprecatory. So these prayers express anger and a desire for justice, usually against wickedness and oppression. It's not against people you don't like. Okay? So justice, there was anger in the play. Can we look at an example? Psalm 69, verse 22. Are we there? I think in Lugana, is this what we call a kukolima? Prayers of what? Verse 22, Psalm 69, verse 22. We're going to read up to 28. Can you read? Let their own table before them become a snare, and when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom you have struck, down, and they recount the pain of those you have wounded. Add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. You see, I'm trying to read the prayers also the way the mood would be. Because there's no way you're praying this as Lord, add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal. I don't know if that's an implication. This is imprecatory. Amen. I have ever prayed an imprecatory prayer, if I can remember, only once. I was very angry. But even in there, when I wanted to pray the imprecatory prayer, I was a bit reserved with my knowledge of, but you know, I should be forgiving and nice. But I still say it. When they never. It was on a thief, eh? In case you're wondering, we wasn't on an enemy who was talking bad about me. It was on a thief, and I had good reasons, but so that there. Psalm 109, verse 6 to 20 is also an imprecatory prayer. Psalm 69 or Jabir 24, pour out your indignation upon them, let your burning anger overtake them. So, how is this applied today? Imprecatory prayers can teach believers to bring their anger and desire for justice before God rather than seeking revenge on their own. Right? That's a good one, right? Do you get that? Can I say it again? So, imprecatory prayers teach believers to bring their anger and desire for justice before God rather than seeking revenge on their own. So, Golding views his prayers as expressions of trust that God will address evil and uphold justice. How many of you know that God doesn't always do what we ask for? Do you know that God doesn't always do what we ask for? Do you know? Sometimes I see big pastors cursing unbelievers, and it doesn't happen. You ever seen? You have never? You have never? You know, some men of God like to hold people hostage by threatening to curse them. Have you ever had something like that? Yeah. I was in Yaku, Tori. If people can only curse in Uganda, I'm now thinking about it. Can you curse people in English? Seems like you can't. And so they threaten people. But I like this application. In other words, again, I am taking to God how I feel. But ultimately, like the scripture says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will pay. It's different for me to say, okay, Brother Solomon has wronged me, then we God, I deal with him. So I take the imprecation to Yahweh. May Brother Solomon live long. You know? So God is the one to get it and sort it, okay. You're angry here, I get it. It's a good approach to me, but leave him to me. Are you getting the point? So again, I'm saying if you feel this kind of way, take it to God. Now, I may not be of the view that we stand in the middle of church on a Sunday morning and start. And sometimes churches do that. Meanwhile, and those people are hearing you. You know, when you do that, you cannot go and preach to them. Because you have already delivered them to Satan. People do this thing. So, have you seen the purpose of the imprecation? I bring what I feel like I want to do to the person. I tell God to do it to the person. But because God is a righteous judge, he will do the right thing. I am committing it to God so that I don't go and I do something stupid. We need to do this more often. Remember all those times you got angry with a fellow believer? Instead of going around and spreading bad rumors about them, sharing the secrets they gave you in confidentiality, you go to God. Tell you, I feel like I want. You trust God with that information to know what to do with that person. Amen. These ones are good. It's focusing on meditation and reflection. Psalm 119 is a meditation psalm. Prayer psalm. So you can go in prayer and say, this time I'm going to meditate. Psalm 119, let me read few verses, but a whole lot of that psalm is to do with meditation. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to the will of the Lord. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Okay, so you can just go through all the Psalms and begin to meditate on them. You just read them out and read over them slowly. And you have strings playing in the background. And that can also be part of your prayer time. Verse 97 to 105. Verse 129 to verse 135, that's all Psalm 119. Focusing on meditation, right? You have Psalm 1. Blessed be the... What is Psalm 1? The man who does not walk, who does not stand, who does not sit. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on this law he meditates day and... That's... reflection psalm. So I wanted to end with supplication because I know or petition, many times we are asking God for things. Or for some of us, we don't know how to ask God. We feel bad for asking. In fact, some people even brag. And me, when I'm praying, I don't ask God for anything. And then we're like, hey, mama. You know, you ever heard those people? Man, I don't ask God for everything because God has done everything for me. Okay. When I grow up, I want to be like you. So, for the rest of us who need to give petition, and we know that God has no issues with petition. Majority of the prayers in the Psalms are actually for petition. You know, it's either asking God for help, protection, guidance, provision. So, asking God for help, help me, protection, protect me, guidance, guide me, or provision, provide for me. Amen. How many of us need those things in our lives? Me, with two hands. So, they are quite in number. So, what I'm going to do, I'm going to break them down. I'm coming to the tail end of this message. So, I'm going to break them down. I'm going to read them quickly. We'll use this part to demonstrate how to pray some of these things. Okay? So, we're going to break it down. We have Psalms. Okay? Second. Okay. Psalms. So all these psalms are for petition, right? What is petition? We're asking Yahweh for something. Now, first one, provision. Psalm 16, 1 and 2. Or preservation. This is provision. Small preservation. Psalm 16, 1 and 2. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my God. I have no good apart from you. Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Psalm 23, 1, 2. Psalm 104, verse 27 to 28. Psalm 104, verse 27 to 28. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. Psalm 145, verse 15 to 16. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. These are provision psalms. Psalm 34, 10. The young lions suffer and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. My friends, pastor friends, many years back, this funny song. I will no more suffer, and I will not beg for bread. So one of them was singing that song. I will no more suffer, and I will not beg for bread. Then the other answered, Nage kulinze. You know, in other words, he said, hey, you are saying you will not beg for bread in kulinze. So I think it was very funny. Somebody said, the righteous don't beg. Amen. But they don't lack any good thing. Now, this is not like saying we don't lack any good thing. Many of us have good things. Even if we have things, but they are good things, right? You know, you may have a phone, but you don't have a good phone. You get it? You may have a house, but you don't have a what? You may have clothes, but they are good clothes. Not like these ones. They are good clothes. I call them goodly. The clothes you wear and even your accent changes. So those are psalms for provision. Psalms, petition for protection. Psalm chapter 3 verse 1. For protection. Psalms 3, 1 and verse 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me. Many are my enemies rising against me, but you, O Lord, are my shield. You, O Lord, are my glory. You, O Lord, are the lift of my head. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? Especially when you are scared. Get this one. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When you hear someone walking in the house whom you didn't open for. Get out Psalm 27, verse 1. You can even shout it loud. The Lord is my refuge. You know, when you have to go somewhere at night and it's dark, recite Psalm 27. Why? You are praying to the Lord for protection. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. So, these are prayers for protection. Psalm 121, maybe these are the most popular one. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. This must be in everyone's psalm cards. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, casting crowns, right? Who made heaven and earth. Protection. You can recite these psalms. Maybe you fear to travel long distances. Speak them. There is a way that they bring some kind of comfort even as you pray them. Now the reason is, while you're saying them, you are actually committing them to God. So it's helping to reinforce your trust in Yahweh. That is my protector. Psalms where you're petitioning for guidance. This will be like the third part. You're petitioning for guidance. Are we there? Can we read? Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I will wait all day long. That means I may need direction and I pray this. Teach me, O Lord. Show me, O Lord. Show me your path. Lead me in your truth. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. O Lord, counsel me. O Lord, instruct me in the way that I should go. Psalm 32, verse 8. Guidance. These are very good guidance psalms. Instead of saying, I don't know what to do, get them out. Start to pray them. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Say, my Lord, my steps are established by you. Father, I delight in your way. Show me your way. Though I may have fallen off on the side, though I may have missed it at once, but I'm not cast headlong. You, O Lord, uphold my head. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, 23, 24. These are powerful prayer points. Psalm 143, verse 10, lastly. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. What a prayer. What a prayer. You know, sometimes we assume, I know all things. Sometimes there's a part where we over. What about I tell God, God, teach me to do your will. I may miss it, but you won't. Oh, Holy Spirit, guide me. Lead me on level ground. Psalm 143, verse 10. Powerful, isn't it?